Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, July 25th, 2014. Hope you're having a good day and looking forward to a great weekend. We are live at 12.04 to 1 each weekday here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We stream the show and podcast it on my website, buckmastershow.com. Want to thank our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon, Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry with us. Joining me to question Mr. Huckleberry, Tucson Weekly political columnist and recent winner of the Best Political Columnist Award at the National Conference of Alternative Newspapers in Nashville, Mr. Jim Ninsel. If you have a question or comment for Mr. Huckleberry, call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. Also invite you to become a friend of our show on Facebook. Mr. Huckleberry, good to see you.
Good afternoon, Bill. Good to see you.
And we welcome Jim Ninsel back to our program. Been many years. Good to see you.
Good to be back, though.
Mr. Huckleberry, you were at the opening of the downtown modern streetcar known as SunLink. The county really doesn't have necessarily a financial stake in this, but you've got a lot of workers who might be using this.
We do, Bill. We are the largest downtown employer. We probably have 4,000 employees who work in downtown, and so we hope that the streetcar will be a success and be available to them to use to getting back and forth to perhaps if they go to the university or other locations along the streetcar line or to lunch and back. So it is a welcome addition to the community. It was a component of the RTA plan that's been now successfully delivered.
I want to talk a little bit about HUD Bay, the new owners of the proposed Rosemont Mine, the chairman of HUD Bay. They're a mineral company based in Toronto, Ontario. They met, the chairman was here in town this week. I understand he met with you. Do you see much change now with the new leadership of Rosemont?
Well, I think I met with HUD Bay, and I think they're going to first take an assessment of what they have and where they are in the process. Obviously, they bring probably a little more detailed engineering and mining expertise to the table and probably more resources. It really remains as to whether or not they're going to alter the mine plan of operations that we've all been commenting on and not received much response from the Forest Service. So I think they'll probably take a look at where they are and if they need to fix anything, because we probably have a lot of suggestions as to how they can minimize impacts.
But you don't see any lessening of opposition from Pima County to the mine?
No, not at all. We've made that fairly clear that we're going to remain opposed. In fact, I penned another letter to the Forest Service recently, as well as the state, pointing out obvious flaws associated with the interception of surface water flows and those adverse impacts that it would have on the Sienega Creek.
Here's Jim Ninsel.
Chuck, previous owners of the mining claim, the Augusta Resource Corporation, said that they were going to run this extraordinarily environmentally friendly mine. They made a lot of promises to do certain things. Are those promises still, is HUD Bay still obligated, should they move forward to adhere to those promises?
I think HUD Bay has indicated that they are, but again, those promises and the concept of a 21st century mine was, I believe, an illusion. It really wasn't. It was very traditional. It was an open pit mine. They didn't backfill the pit. They didn't use renewable water supplies. They were relying on groundwater. So there's a big difference between an advertising campaign that we're a 21st century mine and an actual mine plan of operations that would demonstrate that. So far, they haven't done that.
And the Environmental Protection Agency has raised some red flags, as well as the Army Corps of Engineers, about the water issues. And can you talk a little bit about what those concerns are from what you know of them?
Well, the concerns are really, you know, what happens is that there's a couple of regulations that deal with the Clean Water Act and the compliance requirements of the Clean Water Act with regard to their operations. And mitigation of those is required, and that mitigation standard is really imposed by the Corps of Engineers, overseen by the Environmental Protection Agency, and the principle here is that the impacts that are being felt are in the Sienega Basin, and the mitigation must also be in the Sienega Basin, and I don't believe anybody really knows at this point in time whether that mitigation can actually occur within the basin. We're vitally concerned about the impacts in Sienega, in the Sienega Basin, because frankly, over the last 35 years, we've spent $64 million of taxpayers' money protecting those natural resources that are now threatened or more threatened than they have been in the past.
And there's also perhaps some endangered species issues involved here, and you're certainly familiar with that, having worked with the federal government on your multi-species habitat conservation plan. Do you think these endangered species will have an impact? They know they're going back to the Fish and Wildlife Service, or the Fish and Wildlife Service has asked them to review their plan.
Yes, I think that at least the sighting of the ocelot has, I think, reopened the biological opinion. We're hoping that biological opinion will also be expanded to fish species that are endangered that live in the Sienega Creek, because we think the particular plan of operations does endanger the wetted lengths of the Sienega Creek and hence that population of endangered fish.
Chuck Huckleberry is with us, Pima County Administrator, and Jim Ninsel, the Tucson Weekly, 790-2040, if you'd like to join in the conversation. Everyone's crying about, we need better roads here, but you're saying to those people, give me the money and I'll fix our roads.
Pretty much. We don't like to have potholes in our roads either, but the reality is that transportation revenues, the traditional gas tax, hasn't been increased in Arizona in 24 years. The federal government hasn't increased the federal gas tax in 21 years. The state legislature has taken HERF money that could have been put in road repairs and used it to balance their budget. So there's a reason why our roads are falling apart. And so what we need to do is get people into the realistic position that if you want good transportation, frankly, you're going to have to pay for it.
And what are those options at the local level to pay for these things?
Well, we've tried a couple options. The last option is I had a board who had a 4-1 vote, which is a little bit unusual, to raise the gas tax, and forwarded that to the legislature. And frankly, it fell on deaf ears, and we've not seen any movement out of the legislature to increase transportation taxes. So now it's in the county's hands. And the board, when they adopted the budget this past June, asked me to do a report and bring it back to them this summer, and I'm about to do that next week, that talks about the local options. And those local options are raise property taxes some more, or enact a half-cent sales tax that the board has the authority to do. It's within their powers. Don't have to ask the legislature for permission. Other options would be obviously a local gas tax option, but that requires a legislature. Sales tax on gasoline, but that requires a legislature. So I'll be really talking to the board about things that they can do within their authority and to raise money for transportation and give the board the option as to what they want to do to pursue those.
And there's been a lot of criticism that the county's priorities are out of whack, that there should be more money spent either out of the general fund or some other fund that may or may not exist on road maintenance. And why don't you address those?
Sure. There's this big hue and cry of spend your general fund on transportation. Well, that is a tax equity issue, and the issue is pretty straightforward. The county operates and maintains a transportation system only in the unincorporated area of Pima County. But when we levy a property tax for the general fund, everybody pays. City residents pay, Oro Valley residents pay, Marana residents, Sarita. And frankly, we would be taxing those residents and those communities to pay for roads in the unincorporated area that frankly, if it's on local roads, they're not going to drive on. So that's not equitable. And so that's why we really need to refocus back on the very traditional ways to fund transportation. That's either going to be a gas tax or a sales tax, like the RTA today basically funds its transportation. That's a half-cent sales tax.
And the one final transportation-related question, the Broadway widening between downtown and Country Club, the city of Tucson's in charge of that project, and they're sort of going around and what they want to see happen. They're talking about reducing what was originally planned, 8 lanes to 6 lanes, or perhaps even less. The county's saying it has to be at least 6 lanes in order for you guys to provide your funding, I think, is where you're at.
Yes, because that was a 1997 Highway User Revenue Bond Initiative that went to the voters, and the voters were told they were going to have 6 lanes. And we have this kind of really, sticky issue that we usually are going to say we're going to deliver what the voters voted for, period. And if you do anything different, you can't use the money for that purpose.
We do have one more transportation question. We had a caller who did not want to go on the air, but the caller basically says, please ask Mr. Huckleberry about why he took money from roads for soccer fields.
Well, first, I didn't, and second, the board didn't, and I think what happened is that it's been misconstrued that there was the option, and there always is, the board is in charge of the general fund, and all of the money that is in the budget for roads is in the transportation budget. It's vehicle license tax, or it's highway user revenue funds, and it's all being used for roads. The general fund, though, is an allocated additional $5 million from the board, and the board can use that in any way they want. What the board ultimately did is they said, we're going to keep the $5 million for transportation on top of what we already spend for transportation, and we're going to use our excess fund balance to make the first payment on the soccer property.
And one final transportation question. That is, a lot of your transportation money is now being spent to pay back those 1997 bonds. How much longer do you have to make those payments before that money's freed up to actually work on surface streets again?
Yes, we bond in the short term, and the very first two sales of those $350 million bonds had a 10-year term, and so those probably already paid back. That's about $100 million already paid back. We'll continue to pay on those bonds for probably about another 10 years or less, and our payments are going to probably, they're kind of peaking now. They're going to start to drop off, and as soon as they go away, all of that money will be spent on road repairs. But right now, they're spent on capacity because that's what the voters asked for in 97, and that's what was approved.
12:16 on the Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We're going to take our first break right here. We'll be back with Jim Nintzel, the Tucson Weekly, and Chuck Huckleberry, Pima County Administrator, right after this.
Here in Tucson, we love our beautiful mountain views, but large windows and sliding glass doors are huge energy zappers. At American Openings, we build our doors just like our energy-saving windows to keep the heat where it belongs, on the outside. No matter the style, American Openings will create your doors right here in Tucson at a fraction of our competitors' cost. And although the price is less, our quality is excellent. Call today and enjoy our beautiful views year-round without losing your cool. Call 664-1202 or visit AmericanOpenings.com.
If you want the great taste of bottled water without the hassle of going to the store, call Culligan and ask us about the Culligan bottled water delivery service either to your home or to your place of business. Culligan bottled water is as pure as it gets. The basis of the treatment of the bottled water is steam distillation. Its processing and its cleanliness is a healthy alternative to other beverages. Culligan water is fresh and delicious. One sip will tell it all. And since Culligan water is delivered right to your door, residential or business, you won't have to lug heavy bottles. Whether you have city or well water, Culligan can make your water taste better with an easy solution that fits any budget. Right now, for a limited time, you get 30-day full money-back guarantee, trial to include. Water dispenser free for 1 month. Initial 15 gallons of water free. Thereafter, $6 per month on the dispenser and $6.95 per 5-gallon bottle with an annual service agreement. Call Culligan at 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Heel! No, no, stop it!
Is your dog out of control, dragging you on walks, chewing furniture, barking, or even biting? With over 40 years' experience, Dog Masters Training can train you to provide the proper leadership your dog is waiting for. From basic obedience to walking on a lead, leash aggression to socialization, Dog Masters Training, because if you don't take control, your dog will. Visit our website, dogmasterstraining.com, or call 977-5965.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show 1221, our Friday Focus interview today with Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. Joining me in the questioning, Jim Ninsel, the political columnist, award-winning political columnist for the Tucson Weekly, is joining me. Mr. Huckleberry, what about the criticism that has come from Supervisor Allie Miller over the proposed the bond that voters will be asked to approve, a new facility for Pima County Animal Care? What do you say to Ms. Miller, who says that this could have been done for a lot less money?
Well, what is needed is actually a review of every other major county in the West who's built a new facility, because if you look at those facilities that have been built recently, the contemporary facilities, they cost as much or not more than what we're planning. We believe we'll probably be able to do it for less, but I don't think we're going to take that chance. I mean, this is not your traditional dog pound. This was a facility that was built in 1960. It has a lot of remediation work needed with its plumbing and electrical and air conditioning systems, as well as a need to expand the facility for medical clinic space, for adoption space. If anybody's been out there, I'd invite them to go and take a tour. It is an abysmal place. It has to be replaced. It is, one of the more depressing things that you see. I feel, sorry for the staff who has to work out there, because it's not a good environment. We need to really clean the place up. We need to create an adoption center, and we need to do what we need to do to humanely treat animals in this 21st century.
Yeah, before I throw it back to Jim, kudos to the folks who are working out there at Pima Animal Care Center. They have increased. We had Barbara Brown on the show earlier this week. She was talking about how the putting down the animals, that particular rate has really decreased, and saving the animals is up to, I think, about 70%.
Yeah, and the staff does a tremendous job with a lot of help from volunteers. And so between that combination of good staff and dedicated volunteers, we're doing infinitely better than we used to. We have on the agenda this next Tuesday a cat program that deals with feral cats. And rather than right now, a feral cat is trapped and brought into the center, it's euthanized. And the concept is to bring in feral cats and to neuter and spay them and then return them to their natural environment. And because of just simply population control, you'll be able to control the feral cat program or problem that's in the community.
Here's Jim Nitzel.
I wanted to ask you, Supervisor Miller, changing topics, Supervisor Miller has also raised a lot of concerns about these refugee children from Central America coming into the country. She's very concerned. They may be carrying some sort of viruses. Your health director doesn't seem to agree with that assessment.
I think our health director feels that perhaps their greatest disease exposure is being held in detention. And so Dr. Garcia has looked at this. He's conferred with both state health officials as well as national health officials, and we can find no evidence of any issue or threat to, we'll say, public health at the local level simply because of the actions that have occurred. If we did, we'd be basically taking action. At this point in time, it's probably a non-issue. But that's why we monitor the situation very closely with state health officials and federal government, who's ultimately in charge. And so, so far the response has been received, I think, well, and that those children pose no public health threat to Pima County residents.
And it sounds as if there's very few, if any, left in the Nogales facility.
I understand that basically there aren't any left in the Nogales facility, and that the process is working, and I think it's one that we just simply continue to monitor and look and hope for the best.
At the Rito race track, they're doing now, they moved the farmer's market from St. Phillips over there. Have you heard how that's going at all?
From what I understand, it was well received, and I think I'm going to basically visit it in the next time it's open and go down and have a cup of coffee riding my bike on the loop. And so from what I understand, its opening was very successful, and the entire purpose of that public park is to make multiple uses of it. And this is one more example of making a multiple use of a public facility to benefit the public at large.
And horse racing for now stays out there. And how many acres are we talking about at that park? Do you recall?
We're talking about 80 plus acres.
Okay.
And horse racing will stay there until there's another bond issue and there's a final plan to convert all the balance of the facility to a soccer complex. My guess is that horse racing will be there from now until probably about 2018, perhaps 19.
Now, where are things at with the bond proposals that have been floating around? No election this year, obviously. What's your projection on when you might
see
that?
Jim, there is an election this year.
Well,
this November, the animal care facility. But yes, you're right. The bond advisory committee really has to, they kind of took a summer recess. Their last meeting was toward the end of June. They're not going to start meeting again until the second week in September. And then they're going to probably have to meet once a month, if not twice a month, to begin to narrow down this list. That's probably about $1.2 billion to get it down to about half of that to present to voters. And they've frankly in the past done a very good job, and I have a lot of faith that they're going to continue to do that. They spend an inordinate amount of time going through every one of the projects and not only monitoring past bond programs but looking prospectively forward as to what the needs in the community are and what are those priority needs that they can recommend to the Board of Supervisors.
So with the new soccer fields that are planned at the Rito Park and then the other ones that are being planned near Keno, will we be able to host major national-type soccer, youth soccer events?
We will have the largest soccer complex in Arizona. And it's obvious that, you know, Reach 11 is the gold standard if you hear from youth soccer tournaments and things. And we will be bigger and better than Reach 11. And so our goal is to bring everybody, you know, all of our people in Pima County have to drive to Maricopa and families to go to soccer events. We frankly want to bring all the Maricopa families down to Pima County and host them down here in our new facilities.
And you mentioned the loop. How many miles is that loop now?
Well, we got the loop up to about, and if you count both sides, about 120 miles already. By this time next year, we'll have completed entirely the Cañada del Oro section, all the way from the Santa Cruz to Catalina State Park. We'll have closed to several gap miles along the Julian Wash, and we'll be very close to closing that 55-mile, what we call interurban loop, by this time next year.
Rose was asking about sinkholes out there. Are there some problems on the loop?
Well, the only problem on the loop is that we made dual use of the interconnect between the Roger Road Wastewater Treatment Plant and Ina Road. And it, you know, you build a 6-foot pipe underground and then you pave a section of, you know, 20 feet away from it. Well, there's a couple of sinkholes that have arisen around the piping. It's just a matter of bedding. Mm-hmm. No threat whatsoever to the loop itself. And so all we're doing is cautioning people to be careful. You know, if you stay on the pavement, you're in good shape. If you're like me, occasionally I will, you know, by
go
lack of
road.
Attention, you know, yeah. miss where I'm supposed to go and go off into the ditch and, in one particular case, that ditch may be a little deeper than normal.
All right.
Any chance we're going to see the loop moved beyond the Craycroft spot on the Rito there in any time in the near future?
Yes, actually. And my guess is that we'll be able to close the Craycroft gap, at least down to Pantano, by this time next year. There's already an active project that comes up to Glen Street. And we'll bring it to Glen, probably route it down Glen and up Craycroft. For the time being.
All right. Chuck Huckleberry, thank you very much. Hope you have a great afternoon and a great weekend. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. We've got our Friday roundtable coming up. Jim Nintzel sticks around, and Dan Shear joins us from the Green Valley News and Sahrita Sun back right after this. Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. beat the heat and get back down to earth in the cool mountain air at the 2014 Silver City, New Mexico Clay Festival, the weekend of August 1st. Whether you are a seasoned clay artist or want to get your hands dirty for the first time, you'll be right at home at the Silver City Clay Festival. Enjoy a variety of workshops, demonstrations, lectures on everything from using clay in construction to contemporary ceramics. Take home a work of art or a book or two from the clay market. The Clay Festival also offers tours of a handmade tile factory, a gala reception, live music, juried exhibitions, and more. The Silver City Clay Festival is a Silver City Arts and Cultural District signature event the weekend of August 1st in Silver City, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. For more information, go to clayfestival.com.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us they'd get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 8/31/14. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's our Friday roundtable. Dan Shear joins us now. Dan is editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, and Jim Nintzel is with us from the Tucson Weekly, political columnist. Congratulations, Jim, on that award. You were up against all of the alternative weeklies in the country, and you submitted several pieces from work you have done, political columns.
Yeah, I have to actually thank Dan Gibson, my editor. He's the one who submitted the application for the awards, and it was quite an honor to come out on top across the country with some very tough competition in these alt-weeklies I should clarify, it's circulation under 50,000, but with the newspaper business being what it is, that's a growing number.
That is. Dan, just to kind of pick up a little bit on the interview with Mr. Huckleberry, one of my lead-off questions was the chair of HUDBAE, based in Toronto, flew down here to Tucson this week, met with Mr. Huckleberry about their plans taking over the Rosemont mine. You also met with some of the HUDBAE people.
We did. We met with David Garofalo, who's the CEO and leads that operation. We also met with Pat Merrin, and he is going to be moving down here in the next couple of weeks with his family, and he's going to be heading up the operation out there at Rosemont. And there are a couple of things that Chuck didn't mention that we had talked to them about. One was dry stack tailings, and this is if done properly, can save 60-80% of the water use, and mines, of course, eat up water. And they said they absolutely intend to do it. If they do it, this would be the largest operation in the United States to try to do this. There have been some smaller efforts, but nothing on this scale. So they said they're absolutely committed to doing that. Also, any legal obligations that Rosemont and Augusta had, such as well preservation out in Sarita Heights, which is a big deal for us, are in place. So there were a couple of things they said that or maybe some things that they didn't say that I wish they had. They have three claims on the western side of the Santa Ritas that are small, and that Rosemont or Augusta had always said, you know, are too small really to ever mine. And the Head Bay folks didn't say that they weren't going to mine those, but they did say, you know, we're going to focus on what the plan is, which is, of course, the eastern slope, and then we'll see what happens in the future. But this was probably the headline out of all of it, is that Pat Merritt is going to head up what they call the Arizona Business Unit. And first of all, they're going to get Rosemont open, and then they're going to look for mining opportunities, in their words, within spitting distance of Rosemont. So they're planning on quite a presence here.
Well, Jim, they're coming into a community that is still really deeply divided over this. We've been talking about this Rosemont thing, Jim, for 7 or 8 years since it was first proposed, and it's been pretty much 50-50 the whole way through this thing.
Well, I'm not even I don't know that it is 50-50. If you take an accounting of elected officials, it's I think a much stronger opposition than 50-50. I think there are certainly people in the community who support it, particularly in the business community, but there's a lot of folks who are very concerned about this, and on a whole variety of levels, from the concerns about the environment, from the water use, the potential damage to the watershed, the impact on the transportation on that two-lane highway leading in and out of there, and I think the tourism concerns of folks elsewhere in southern Arizona who are worried that this will actually damage the tourism businesses down there.
But you still believe, Dan, you've said all along, it will be built.
It will be, and I don't think you have a company like Hud Bay come in and not expect that they're going to get the last couple of permits that they need. And they've been around for 87 years. They have been involved in 28 mining operations across the world, just a small handful of those in the United States. But I think they have every expectation that this thing is going to open and that, in their words, will be very successful, because success equals money, and there's a lot of it there.
All right, Jim Nitzel, I want to tap your brain about some of these races, the political season really heating up now. Early voting starts next week.
I believe you're
right. Thursday or Friday of next week. What do you see right now as really kind of the marquee attractions in this race? Which are the most competitive?
Well, I think there's almost all the actions on the Republican side. There's I think, a Democratic primary for a legislative seat down here, and the superintendent of public instruction statewide for the Democrats. But really, the Republicans are the ones who are scrambling for offices here in the primary election, and certainly the governor's race way up there, very competitive race. I think all the candidates are still struggling to build up their name ID, although I think that is increasing as more and more of them are advertising, and I think Republican voters are really trying to figure out who they're going to choose between. Certainly the top tier candidates in that race would be the treasurer, Doug Ducey, Christine Jones, the attorney who used to work for GoDaddy, making her political debut here. Scott Smith, the former Mesa mayor, and Ken Bennett, the Secretary of State, may be edging into that top tier, although I think he's limited by the fact that he's gone clean elections and only has about $750,000 to spend on a campaign when the others have considerably more money, although I'm surprised they haven't spent more, frankly. The Attorney General's race, fascinating race between Tom Horn, the incumbent, and his challenger, Mark Brnovich. Horn has had such a raft of troubles, investigations into his campaign activities and other activities, and just bad headlines all across the board over the last few years. I think he's in some real trouble in this primary. You have the race for Secretary of State, very interesting race there with three Republican candidates, Will Cardin, the very wealthy businessman.
Whose family is very upset at him. I don't know if you have heard about
this. They are. And I think
six of the seven members of the family are actually suing him over using his trust fund money for the campaign.
And I think that answers a big question that was on the minds of a lot of people. He spent, you know, I think $6-8 million on his Senate campaign two years ago, and everybody was wondering why he's not pouring money into this Secretary of State's campaign in the same way. And I think now we have some understanding of why. Perhaps his wallet has not opened. And he's running against Michelle Reagan, a state lawmaker, and Justin Pierce, another state lawmaker. I think Michelle Reagan may have the edge in that race.
Okay, Dan, I want to kick it over. We'll get back to Jim on the races. Let's talk about congressional races. We have the CD1. Actually, it's going to be the, you've got CD1 and CD2 races, but you've got a big forum coming up with the CD2 Republican candidates this Saturday, correct?
Right. That's tomorrow. We'll have Martha McSally, Chuck Wooten, and Shelley Keis down at Quail Creek in Sarita off Old Nogales Highway. They're going to debate at 2 o'clock. We will have two people asking questions, and I'm the moderator. My job is to make sure they answer them. And that is really kind of an important point here, because Martha McSally has been accused of dodging a lot of the questions up to this point. So first of all, I'll say that I'm glad that all three agreed to meet. I think that voters deserve to see all three of them on the same stage answering questions. We're going to take some questions from the audience, and we'll see how it goes. But I think it's just a plus that they've agreed to do this. I think it's their obligation, frankly. But we'll see how it goes tomorrow in Quail Creek.
McSally, Jim, has still a huge lead, wouldn't you say?
I think this is David and David versus Goliath. and I think Martha McSally clearly has much more name ID than either of her challengers. She has far, far more money than either of her challengers, and I think this is not a particularly competitive primary down there. I think the fact that she does have challengers speaks to the fact that there are people within the Republican Party who are suspicious of Martha McSally and where she stands on some conservative issues. There's concerns that she's too moderate among some members of the Republican Party, and that's why these other candidates are in the race.
How about the Tobin-Keeney-Quasman race in CD1, the three-way Republican primary? We had Andy Tobin on the show this week. Do you consider him, Jim Nensel, the front runner in that race?
I think to the extent that there is a front runner in that race, he's probably the front runner in that race.
Adam Quasman didn't do himself any good, did he?
I think Quasman definitely blew himself up pretty badly last week when he mistook a bus of YMCA campers for illegal immigrants. Perhaps he thought the YMCA campers were going to steal our jobs or something like that, but it did not go well for him. He ended up at the end of the day on Comedy Central and turned himself into a laughingstock, I think. And Keeney's had his own problems with sticking his foot in his mouth earlier in the campaign season, and we haven't heard that much from him, but he has a lot of money to self-fund.
And he's very popular in the rural areas.
Yeah, he's a rodeo cowboy.
He is.
There's these photos of him out there roping at rodeos, and he's legit, very appealing to I think the rural communities out there. But I think he's a political rookie, and he's made some mistakes on the trail for sure.
Dan, this Diane Douglas and Superintendent of Public Instruction Hoopenthal, that's an interesting race in the Republican primary.
Well, it is, because she's largely a one-issue candidate, and then Hoopenthal, we know his issues with pushing, not pushing the public schools and going undercover to comment on blogs and stuff, and so I don't know what you do with this one, Bill, I'll be honest with you. Maybe it's a coin flip for some people, but Diane was very interesting on your show the other day, and I guess maybe on that one issue, if you felt very strongly about Common Core, she's your person, but the job is much, much bigger than that.
But I do think you bring up an important point in the Common Core. I think that is the issue for a lot of Republican voters. It animates Republican voters in a huge way. I don't think it animates the general voting populace in the same way, but Common Core, you see it in the governor's race as well. Scott Smith, the Mesa governor, is the only guy out there saying he likes Common Core, and everybody else is talking about how terrible Common Core is, and Scott Smith says he's baffled by this. He doesn't understand what these people are even talking about when they're talking about the Common Core. Everybody he talks to has a different complaint about it, but it seems as though a lot of people seem to think that it's some sort of effort to impose madrasas and Kenyan schooling systems by the Obama administration.
Well, and like I said, it may be the big issue out there, but like maybe immigration is right now, but the job is much bigger than that. And can she do the rest of the job? Well, we don't know, because she's not really talking about it.
Well, the Democrats are waiting. They've got Dr. David Garcia is considered the front runner in that race. On the Democratic side, he's an educator from ASU, I believe, so that he'll be facing either Douglas or Hoopenthal. And of course, on the Secretary of State side, you have former AG Terry Goddard, waiting to see whether it's Brnovich or Mr. Horn.
Secretary of State.
Secretary of State.
Reagan or Cardin.
That's right.
Justin
it's Pierce. Felicia Rodellini, of course, is the Democrat
for the AG.
Will AG whether or not she will have a return match with Horn? You know, Jim, I've said all along, though, you know, Horn still has, like it or not, name recognition.
He does. And in fact, I think Mark Brnovich's biggest advantage at this point is that he is not Tom Horn.
Yes.
But Jim, do you really think that Tom Horn has a chance?
I don't think he has. I do not believe Tom Horn will be our attorney general a year from now. Whether or not he can survive this primary remains to be seen, but I think Brnovich is probably has flipped things to the point where he's the favorite to win that.
Let's leave politics here to close things out with Dan. You were looking over a long report that the Border Patrol put out on that recent shooting down there.
Right. May 30th, we had a Border Patrol agent shoot an unarmed man who was running from them. The guy was shot in the back of the head. And the report finally came out. The agents said that the man turned and looked as if he were firing or aiming a weapon at them. Two things came out of this report, 230 pages, two things. One, the Border Patrol agent Daniel Marquez is not talking. And two, Border Patrol agents really do not understand what happens after an officer-involved shooting. They were very upset that Marquez was being treated as a suspect. Well, a homicide took place, and this is just the way it is. But the Pima County Sheriff's Department, which is doing the investigation, pointed out in several spots in this report that they were really kind of targeted by comments and some very, very angry agents over this. So the bottom line is we really didn't learn much about the shooting itself.
Okay, Jim Nitzel, thank you. We'll look for your work in the Tucson Weekly. Thanks for being with us.
Always a pleasure.
And Dan Scheer, good to see you, Dan. Thanks a lot. Okay,
thanks.
Be right back with our Weekend Watch.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. This is Bill Buckmaster. Munger Chadwick are Arizona's business lawyers. Helping Arizona businesses for 40 years, Munger Chadwick is a strategic partner for many businesses operating in Arizona, the Southwest, Mexico, and globally. AV rated and ranked with the best lawyers of America, Munger Chadwick has recognized knowledge in all areas of business law, including corporate real estate mergers, acquisition, employment, along with intellectual property and administrative law, and international trade, immigration, and government affairs. In matters involving disputes, Munger Chadwick takes pride in working with its clients creatively and aggressively, often resolving problems in ways that prevent or avoid litigation. Munger Chadwick, located in Tucson, Phoenix, and Tubac. Business know-how with personal service. Visit MungerChadwick.com or call 721-1900.
Oh, I am ready for the weekend. And when I hear that music, Rose, I know it is time that we can start thinking about the weekend. It is Weekend Watch on the Buckmaster Show, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Boy, if there was ever a time to take a drive over to Silver City to escape the heat, now is the time. 3 hours east of Tucson, check it out. A mile high elevation means cooler temperatures. Lots to do in Silver City. Hiking, antiquing, art gallery, hunting, you name it. And you can check out what's to do and where to stay. Places like Casitas de Gila Guest Lodge at southwestnewmexico.org. We welcome now the host of Weekend Watch, Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist, award-winning Tucson publicist, a gentleman who loves a good meal, Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. You know, it's Friday, flirting with 1 o'clock. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. What a shock to you and your listeners.
You are always hungry, as I recall, about this time on a Friday afternoon. You know, of course, everybody's excited about the modern streetcar. There's at least three new businesses that are opening. One of them, pretty well-known restaurant, opening up right now to coincide with the streetcar.
Absolutely, Bill. In what is considered to be the most highly anticipated Tucson restaurant opening in recent memory, the doors of Pizzeria Bianco are finally open on Congress Street downtown. Now, Chris Bianco's flagship pizzeria up in Phoenix is the only pizza place in the country to have earned the coveted James Beard Award for culinary excellence, and it's a favorite among Hollywood celebs and former U.S. presidents, in fact. So expect the long lines for which this place has become known up in Phoenix to be reproduced down here in Tucson, but I understand that the pizza is well worth the wait. I say put on a pair of comfy shoes and check out Pizzeria Bianco this weekend for some award-winning pie.
Yeah, it is a really big weekend downtown with the streetcar, and as I recall, Rose, it's free rides. Yeah, certainly this weekend on the modern streetcar, and Mercado San Agustin has some stuff going on too.
Yeah, they're really the hub of some of the most delicious events to celebrate the streetcar. Mercado San Agustin, just west of I-10 off of Congress, starting at 6 o'clock tonight, they're going to be serving up local beers and bratwursts from Agustin Kitchen, followed by a DJ, dance party, Arizona wine tasting, and some food trucks. Now, this party is going to continue through the weekend, Bill, with artisan cheese workshops and olive oil and balsamic and whiskey tastings. Even the Tucson High School marching band is going to be performing as well. So with so much going on, there's hardly enough time to even ride the streetcar, but it's always good to celebrate nonetheless all weekend long at Mercado San Agustin.
Yeah, and I know why you left Russell Public Communication about an hour ago and told everybody, I'll see you Monday. I'll be down at the I'll be down at the Modern Streetcar doing some riding and tasting and eating the whole weekend anyway. Wildflower, always a fun place to go. They're doing some, I think, wine pairing dinner this weekend.
Yeah, you know, this one is actually scheduled for Monday, but with a menu this beautiful, I'm just going to proclaim right now Monday to be part of the weekend for this weekend watch's sake. Our good friend Chef Omar Huerta from Wildflower up on Oracle and Ina, of course, he's put together a summer-inspired five-course wine dinner scheduled for Monday at 6 o'clock. Enjoy such delicacies as fresh oysters and pork briette, duck breast, sea trout, and a cherry tart with chocolate curd and marzipan for dessert, all with corresponding wine pairings for only $55 a person. Now, Chef Omar's dinners are always top sellers, Bill, so grab a reservation while you still can, and the number is 219-4230.
Have a great weekend. Thank you, Matt.
Cheers to you, sir.
Wrapping it up here for the week on the Buckmaster Show, which is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of my team, my lovely, talented producer, Rosemary Brandt. Rose does such a fantastic job, always really very dependable and right on the money when it comes to entertaining the guests who come to the studio and handling all of our callers. Thank you, Rose, for everything you do. I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend. The Weekend Talk starts tomorrow with Phil Cedar with The Garden Show at 7 a.m. Enjoy the weekend, everybody.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.